Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 45 in our study of the Synoptic Gospels, which are the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke. During the last lessons, we were looking into the ministry of Jesus Christ as a slave savior for spreading the gospel. And we have been looking at different things that Jesus was doing as a way of service. He would speak parables to the people, and then also he would do some acts in nature and also do some acts among the people. In this lesson today, we are going to look into three different incidents or teachings that Jesus did as a result of the criticism that he received from the religious people in this time. For our text today, we are going to look into Mark chapter 7, starting with verse number 1, and we will go all the way to verse number 37. Mark 7, 1 to 37. There are three major incidents or passages that we can understand from this chapter 7 of Mark. One is the teachings of Jesus concerning things that defile. And we will see how Jesus interpreted exactly what would defile us, which was contrary to what the religious people of that time believed in. The second thing we will understand also is about a foreigner who comes to Jesus, and he casts out a demon out of a child as because of the request and the act of faith of a foreign woman. And the third thing, we are going to look at the act of Jesus as he heals a deaf and dumb person, and we will use that basically to understand on the spiritual context how he can heal us from our infirmities. So let us go right into the lesson. Mark chapter 7 verses 1 onwards. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered together to him when they had come from Jerusalem. I believe that in Jerusalem, the Pharisees and the scribes are the educated people among those Jews. They came from Jerusalem to where Jesus was. We understand that Jesus was away from Jerusalem. He was in the regions of Galilee, and they came all the way from the religious capital down to where Jesus was, and their intention was not to commend Jesus or receive a blessing from Jesus, but rather they had come to criticize Jesus. They felt that they were the watchmen of the Jewish laws, and they had to basically confront Jesus with whatever he was doing. So verse number 2 says that these Pharisees and scribes had seen that some of the disciples of Jesus ate bread with common hands, that is unwashed. Common hands, which means they saw that they ate bread without washing their hands. Verse number 3 says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, unless they carefully wash their hands, do not eat, holding the tradition of the elders. Now here we see something which is Jesus' disciples are doing something which is contrary to the tradition of the Jews. That is, the disciples eating bread using hands that was not washed and cleansed before that. Now the tradition of the Jews was that they would carefully they would wash the hands, and unless they wash their hands, they do not eat also. And this was how the people accepted by way of a law. Verse number 4, and when they had come to from the marketplace, unless they washed themselves, they did not eat. So even somebody would go out of the home to the marketplace, when they come back, they would have to wash themselves. Literally, in the literal translation, it means unless he baptized, which means totally submerge, or some manuscripts also mention as sprinkle. Either way, it would require water to cleanse the hands before they eat the food. And there were many other things which they had have received to hold the dipping of the cups and pitchers and copper vessels, and also couches. So basically, they would clean up all the instruments, all the vessels, even before they would eat it. So they were very strict as far as cleanliness is concerned, but it was more like a tradition. And what they saw, that the disciples of Jesus were not even washing their hands and they were eating bread. So verse number 5, and the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with common hands? So directly they come and confront Jesus. They are asking why you do not walk after the tradition of the elders. There is something very interesting that we can see. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were the people of the old, belonging to the old clan of religion. And in fact, they were motivated and they were used by Satan to frustrate the gospel service of the slave savior. And that was happened throughout his ministry. These Pharisees and scribes thought that they were worshipping God, and it was a part of their zealous endeavor to uphold the tradition of the elders. But actually, they were blinded by the traditional religion, and they could not see God Himself who is there in their midst, and so they confronted. This is exactly like the good intentions of Job's friends, who told him many things, but God, when he looked at those words that the friends, the miserable friends of Job, were telling him, God said, these are foolish words. And that was what exactly how God would look after this tradition of the religious people. So when they confronted Jesus at that time, and how did Jesus react? Verse number 6, and he said to them, well has Isaiah prophesied concerning you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart stays far away from me. Jesus was taking a quotation from Isaiah chapter 29 verse 13, where it is mentioned that these people are honoring me with their lips, but their heart stays far from me. Outward expression of piety and religion, but there is no inward transformation, and that is what Jesus could see right through them, and see that outwardly you are making a pretense. And he addressed them like, you are like hypocrites. And that is very interesting too. When Jesus mentioned that these religious people were like hypocrites, that was very interesting. Because when you understand, a hypocrite is a stage actor who would wear large masks that with mechanical devices that increased the force of their voice. And so these Pharisees and Sadducees were like hypocrites, and what they were doing is that they were play acting. They were honoring, trying to honor God with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. Verse number 7, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as the teachings of the commandment of men. While leaving the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. It says that they are showing a worship, like a feeling of awe and devotion, but their hearts are away from God. You hold to the traditions of men. Some ancient manuscripts also add that the dipping of pitchers and cups and many other similar things that you do. So you do a lot of work. You do a lot of different things which are part of the tradition of the elders. But what is exactly happening in your life? You are leaving the commandment of God and you are holding to the tradition of men. Verse number 9, he said to them, you nicely set aside the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. So the result of the keeping of tradition is a setting aside of the commandment of God. And furthermore, the tradition causes people to set aside the commandment of God nicely. Let me pause here for a moment and speak to you about your personal life. If you are trying to do certain traditions in acts of service or acts of worship or different things in your life which is not exactly what God has inscribed in His Word, many times maybe God is also speaking to us that you are holding the tradition of men over and leaving the commandment of God. And this is not something that God is desiring from us. We need to obey God and we need to seek after God's mind and God's word and not hold our traditions, because our traditions of man are merely from the earth. But what has God mentioned, they are heavenly. And that's something that we need to really understand and we really need to follow. Verse number 10, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever you would have been profited by me is now korban, that is a gift of God. So Jesus is bringing out an example of one of the Ten Commandments that Moses gave to the children of Israel. Moses said that honor your father and your mother. And then Jesus speaks about a law that Moses had given as part of the Levitical laws. He said that he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death, or let him decrease or decease by death. And that was if you are speaking evil of your father and your mother. But you say, now that was the commandment of God. That is what Moses put as part of God's commandment. But you say, which means you have thwarted God's commandment and you are putting traditions of men here. And you say that if a man said to his father or mother, whatever you would have been profited by me is now a gift of God. That is what you say. So we understand here something very significant. And as we see here, it means that what Moses commanded was that you would, if you speak evil of your parents, you will be put to death or disease come to one's end. And these are two words that Jesus was quoting, one from Exodus 21 verses 17, and the other was a quotation from Leviticus chapter 20 and verses 9. And these were two verses that Jesus was quoting. And thus he said that you, by saying this, you are destroying the commandment of God by itself, because you are saying something that is not correct. And he says it's korban, that is a gift of God, means an offering. Anything that is offer to God. So, an example that Jesus brought about to speak how the traditions of men were totally against the commandment of God. Verse number 12, allow him to no longer do anything for his father or his mother. So after he says that whatever you are profited by me is a gift of God, and that way that you don't have to do anything for your father or mother. And thus you deprive the word of God of its authority by your tradition which you have handed down, and many things similar to these you do. And so Jesus is very strong in his condemnation of what the people are doing. Verse number 14, and he called the crowd to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a man which entering into him can defile him. But the things coming out of a man are the things which defile a man. So, what we understand that that anything from outside that is entering can defile him or make him unclean or make him common. Now, the Jews had a very strict tradition of not eating certain things which were unclean food. And Jesus saying this statement was totally bringing out a new commandment and speaking something which was beyond eating what was clean and what was unclean. If you turn to Acts chapter 11 and verses 8, where God gives a vision to Apostle Peter about spreading the gospel to the Gentiles, he gives him a vision. And in that vision, Peter hears a voice saying that, rise Peter, kill and eat. And Peter is answering, but I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. So even Peter speaking about the same thing about unclean things that has entered his mouth, he did not remember what Jesus had spoken in this particular passage where Jesus says that there is nothing outside of a man which enter him can make him unclean or make him common or defile him, but only the things that are coming out of a man that can defile a man. And verse number 16 says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And 17, and when he had entered into a house from the crowd, his disciples questioned him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you also in the same manner without understanding? Do you not understand that everything that enters from the outside into a man is not able to defile him? Because it does not enter into the heart, but into the stomach, and goes out into the drain. And in saying this, he made all foods unclean. Something very interesting for us to understand, that saying this statement, Jesus made all foods clean. So as a follower of Jesus and as a child of God, let us understand that there is nothing that is unclean that we cannot eat. Jesus has opened the door that we can eat everything that goes, because it doesn't touch the heart. That's what Jesus said. It does not enter into the heart, but it goes into the stomach and goes into the drain. However, when we read the later passages with Apostle Paul speaking to the churches, he speaks about things that are offered to idols which cause stumbling to weaker brothers, and you should not eat that. If there is something that you eat which will cause others to question your Christianity or question anything in your life, the Bible says it is better to abstain from all those, abstain from meat and things offered to idols. So that was kind of a law or kind of a small direction that the apostles including Apostle Peter and Paul and James and the early church, the elders, they had put that it is good that you do not eat the things that are, abstain from things that are offered to idols. But in the reality, in the actual sense, Jesus has already given permission and he has made all the foods clean, which we can eat without any problems. Verse number 20, that which goes out of a man, that defiles a man. Now, Jesus explains what exactly defiles us. If it is not the food that you eat that defile you, what exactly does it defile? And the list is here, and I want you to pay attention. Verse number 21, for from within out of the heart of the man proceeds evil reasonings, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetousness, wickedness, deceit or guile, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, foolishness. And all these wicked things proceed from within and defile a man. So these are the things out of the heart of the man that comes out. Evil reasonings, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetousness, wickedness, deceit or guile, licentiousness, envy. Now envy is also mentioned as a wicked eye. It is a Semitic expression referring to the eye that intends to do evil, and by extension to hostility, jealousy or envy. And blasphemy, arrogance, foolishness, all those wicked things proceeds from within and defile a man. So the wicked things that proceeds from within are the evil issues of a man's fallen and sinful nature, and those are the things that defile a man. And if you turn to Romans chapter 7 and verses 18, Romans 7 verse 18, Apostle Paul, speaking about the law and the sin that comes from within, he speaks like this: for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So everything that comes is something that comes out of the heart, and that is something which is contrary to what God wants. So these are the things that proceeds from within our heart and defile us. It's not the food that goes in, but the things that go out of our heart, and that is what defiles us. The next passage speaks about Jesus casting a demon out of a Canaanite daughter. Verse number 24, and he rose up from there and went away into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entering into a house, he wanted no one to know about it, yet he could not escape notice. Now we understand here that it says that he went away to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Some ancient manuscripts omit Sidon. So Jesus rose up from there and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And entering into a house, he wanted no one to know about it, which means that the Lord did not want publicity for himself. And yet he could not escape notice. Verse number 25. But a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and immediately she came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by race, and she asked him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now this was a woman who was a Greek, Syrophoenician, Syrian by tongue, Phoenician by race. That is why she was mentioned as Syrophoenician. And since the Phoenicians were descendants of Canaanites, she was also a Canaanite woman. And that what made her a Greek, we do not know, whether religion or marriage or some other factors, that is difficult to determine. But she was a Greek, she was a Syrian by tongue, She was a Phoenician by race. When you turn to Acts chapter 21, verses 2 and 3, where Paul, on his way as he goes to Jerusalem, it says in verse number 2, and having found a ship going to Phoenicia, we went abroad to set sail. When we had come in the sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the side, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. Speaks about Paul on a ship that is going to Phoenicia. And Phoenicians were descendants of the Canaanites, and so she was a Canaanite woman, and she was also a Greek, but we do not know if it is by religion or marriage or some other factor. So this woman comes with a request. It says that she heard about him. Now she had a daughter with an unclean spirit or a demon within her. She heard about Jesus. She immediately came. She fell at his feet and she asked him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, first let the children be satisfied, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. The little dogs means pet dogs or house dogs. It's not good for first the children be satisfied. Jesus was pointing out to the fact that she was a foreigner. And for him, his work was among the Jews. But he spoke in a way that was a bit harsh. But that was just to test her and see how she would react to whatever Jesus would tell her. Verse number 28. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. But even the little dogs under the table eat of the little children's crumbs. The lady was not even asking for bread. She was asking for some minute pieces of crumbs that the little dogs would eat under the table. Because Jesus referred her daughter and her as little dogs or house dogs. And he said to her, because of this word, go, and the demon has gone out of your daughter. With one word, and Jesus spoke, you go, and the demon went away from her daughter. Something very, very understand that this is a demon. It's a disembodied spirit, and this was part of the creatures who were judged by God, who joined the Satan's rebellion. And these fallen works, angels work with Satan in the air. The fallen angels are different. They work with Satan in the air. But these unclean spirits or the demons, they move with him on the earth. And the demon possession of any person is Satan taking control of somebody's life. But God has created that we should be sober and we should have total control over ourselves. And Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan, and which included casting out the demon from people who are possessed. Now in this case of the daughter of this lady, she had a demon possession. So he just spoke a word, go, and the demon has gone out of her daughter. Just a word that Jesus spoke. And she went away to her house and found the little child lying in on a couch and the demon gone out. So that was an instant miracle. When Jesus spoke the word, go, she believed that word and she went back to home and she found her daughter lying on the couch and the demon had gone out. So, another thing that we can understand from this particular incident is that if we come to Him by faith, He will not cast us out. He will surely give us the desires of our heart. And that is the beauty of our Lord Jesus, because He will give us more what we deserve in our life. Excuse me. The last incident that we are going to see is from 31 to 37 of chapter 7, where Jesus is healing a deaf and dumb man. Verse number 31. And again he came out of the borders of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the borders of Decapolis. As we have mentioned before, Decapolis is a district of 10 cities. So Jesus comes out of the borders of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. And that is what where Jesus is coming to the area of the Sea of Galilee. And because he was rejected by the Jewish religion, the Lord remained and he came to the Galilee of the Gentiles as a healing light. And because he was rejected by the Pharisees and the scribes, more than wanting to go to Jerusalem, he remained in that areas around the Galilee to minister to the Gentiles, and was in the midst of the borders of Decapolis, or a district with 10 cities. Verse number 32. And they brought to him one who was deaf and who spoke with difficulty. And they entreated him to lay his hand on him. So the person who was deaf and who spoke with difficulty, like a deaf and a dumb man, it signifies someone who is spiritually deaf and dumb, unable to hear the voice of God and to praise him. God has created us that we can hear his voice and we can praise him. When we turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 6, where Isaiah is speaking about the ransom who will return, he speaks about like this: then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy, for waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The tongues of the mute sing for joy. That is how God has created, that we should be able to hear the voice of God and to praise him. And also, God has created us that we can also speak for him. When we turn to Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 10, we read like this, where Isaiah is speaking about the irresponsible leaders of Israel. He speaks like this in verse number 10. His watchmen are blind, they are all without knowledge, they are silent dogs, they cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. Speaks about silent dogs. Now we know that a dog is only useful if he or she barks. A dog is kept in a home so that when an intruder enters into the home, the dog is supposed to be barking, so that the owners will know that there is somebody who is trying to enter into the house without permission. But here we speak about silent dogs. Dogs who would not bark but who are too lazy. It says that they are dreaming and lying down and are loving to sleep. They love sleep. They don't want to do the things that the owner has put in their life to do. Exactly depicting about the role that we are not paying, the role that we are not playing because we are too lazy and we are not doing things that are pertaining to what God requires from our lives. The dumbness of such a person is because of the deaf nature of the person. The slave Savior's healing salvation is well able to heal the deafness and dumbness of such a one, first by dealing with his ears and then by touching his tongue. So, in order for the tongue to be healed, first their ears have to be touched. And that is what Jesus knew very clearly. So when they brought to Jesus the one who was deaf and who spoke with difficulty, they requested him to lay his hands on him. What did Jesus do? Verse number 33. And he took him aside from the crowd privately and put his fingers into his ears, or thrust his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. There are some things that Jesus is doing here. Number one, he is thrusting his fingers into the ears of this deaf man. Now, his thrusting his fingers into the deaf man's ear signifies his dealing with the hearing organ. And his touching of his tongue with his spittle signifies his anointing of the dumb one's speaking organ with the word that proceeds out of his mouth, and that is a healing. So Jesus is both touching with his finger the ear to hear, and also using the spittle, he's touching the tongue so that the dumb man can speak. And let us take some words from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 50 verses 4 and 5. Isaiah chapter 50 verses 4 and 5. Here we see about Israel's sin and his servants' disobedience. Speaks about the Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. The portion we read was from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5, where it speaks about the Lord giving a tongue so that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. And also in verse number 5 says, the Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, I turned not backward. When we look to the book of Job, chapter 33, verses 14 to 16, Job chapter 33, verses 14 to 16, it's in part of the instructions that Elihu speaks concerning Job. He speaks like this, verse number 14. For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, while they slumber on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and terrifies them with warnings. So it's speaking about God speaking and opening the ears of men, but this is while he is dreaming in a vision, and he terrifies them with warnings. So in both the passages as we read, what we can understand is that it is God who opens our ears and opens our ability to speak. So both Jesus dealt with a hearing organ, and he also dealt with his speaking ability, so that with the word that comes out of the mouth he can speak. Verse number 34, and looking up to heaven he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. This is an Aramaic word that Jesus speaks directly to the cause, the sickness. He says, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the bond on his tongue was released, and he spoke clearly. And he charged them not to tell anyone, but the more he charged them, the more they proclaimed it. Jesus, after this many miracles we see again and again, that Jesus is telling people not to publicize, but it says that they do on the contrary. Why did Jesus say not to publicize? He wanted his work to be done within the limits of a move that was absolutely in accordance with God's purposes, and that is not propagated by man's excitement and propaganda. And that is why Jesus said not to tell anyone, but they proclaimed it all. Verse number 37, and they were utterly astounded, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf hear and the dumb speaks. This miracle was the cause of a great astonishment in the people who witnessed that. So Jesus became a miracle working God. And as in our lesson today, we really understood some crucial things that Jesus wanted us to understand. Number one, the things that go in does not defile us, but the things that go out of our heart We are to guard our heart with all its diligence, as it says in Proverbs, for out of it comes the issues of life. Those are the real issues that come out of our heart. We have to be very clear and very vigilant of what comes out of our heart, because those are the things that will defile us. And it's not the food that we eat. The second thing that we understood was that if you are persistent, even though you are not entitled, but God will hear your prayers. We've seen the case of this Syrophoenician Greek woman, a Canaanite, who did not in any way was entitled for Jesus, a Jewish rabbi and a teacher, to heal her daughter. But because of her persistence and because of her humility, she received the healing. Which speaks to us that we need to be humble before God and we need to be persistent in our desire to do the things of God, and God will going to answer our prayers. And lastly, we know that it is the hand of Jesus that would touch us, that will cause us to speak for Him, that will cause us to hear His word and cause us to be a light to the people around us. I pray that the Lord would bless you with this lesson today and enable you to live more closer to Him in the days to come. May God bless you.